WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hopefully, all of you are having a beautiful Thursday afternoon, and we are so honored and pleased that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your day. We have a great show in store for you all as we'll kind of give you a sneak peek into tonight's Current Sports TV as we tackle the issue of referee abuse with MHSAA baseball official Dan Jimenez. Yes, it was great sitting down with Dan. We'll give you a sneak peek into that interview in just a moment. We will also be talking Tigers as, yes, what's new? They lose another one. And Brad Ausmus, the Tigers manager, sticks his foot right in his mouth. Also, hey, how about the MSU football team finally getting paid for something they should have been getting paid for, folks? We'll talk about that. The Wings, they wave tutu, Throwback Thursday, and so much more. But as custom here on Current Sports, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
I'm Matthew Luckey, and these are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for today, Thursday, June 19th. Elijah Holyfield, son of former world champion boxer Evander Holyfield, is getting interest from the Michigan Wolverines and tweeted about a scholarship offer from the Maize and Blue yesterday morning. A running back from College Park, Georgia, who stands 5 feet 11 and 195 pounds, Holyfield also has offers from big-time programs such as Ohio State, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, and Wisconsin. He's a junior in high school this fall, making him a part of the class of 2016. In other Michigan recruiting news, 2 weeks after securing a commit from its 2015 quarterback, the Wolverines have locked down their 2016 signal caller. Trotwood, Ohio, Madison quarterback Messiah DeWeaver attended Michigan's summer camp, tweeted earlier this afternoon about his offer, and then tweeted again about his acceptance at around 4:30 p.m. DeWeaver joins current defensive back Rion Dawson and linebacker Mike McCray as Trotwood products in the Maize and Blue. In Tigers news, Omar Infante added a solo homer, and Jeremy Guthrie pitched impressively into the seventh inning, helping the Royals extend their longest winning streak in 20 years with a 2-1 victory over the Tigers on Wednesday. The AL Central leading Royals have not won this many games in a row since a run of 14 in 1994, they extended their division lead over Detroit to 1.5 games. Drew Smyly nearly matched Guthrie's nice effort, but the Detroit left-hander was victimized by Gordon's fluky RBI single in the first inning and Infante's homer in the fifth. The Royals have a chance to finish off the four-game series sweep today at 1:08 p.m. Tigers manager Brad Ausmus is already regretting comments he made in a post-game press conference yesterday when he made an ill-advised, sarcastic remark following the Tigers' 2-1 loss to the Royals. When asked about his mood when he returns home after a Tigers loss during their recent slump, Ausmus jokingly quipped, quote, "I beat my wife." "I'm just kidding," he quickly clarified before offering up a serious response. "Luckily, my wife and kids are fantastic," he said. "I do get a little mopey at home, but my wife and kids are good. They've seen me in a bad mood after a loss, and they've been great." About a minute later, Ausmus returned to the topic and offered an apology. In good baseball news, it was a career night for Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw, who threw a no-hitter and struck out 15 in an 8-0 win over the Colorado Rockies. Kershaw allowed no hits and no walks as his lone base runner reached first on a throwing error by Hanley Ramirez. Kershaw's 15 Ks were the second most by a pitcher throwing a no-no, trailing only Nolan Ryan. Looking to rebuild their roster, the Detroit Red Wings have put Jordan Tutu on waivers 1 year before his contract expires. Tutu was signed in the summer of 2012 to a 3-year deal, but spent most of last season in the minors, falling out of favor with coach Mike Babcock. With the NHL season in the books, bettors are already looking ahead to next year. Various sites have released odds on the 2015 Stanley Cup, and according to online sportsbook Bovada, the Red Wings have a 22-1 shot of bringing home Lord Stanley. The Blackhawks are the early favorites at 7-1 odds, with the Bruins right behind at 8-1, and the defending champion Kings 9-1. In World Cup action, Group B had some interesting results yesterday. The Netherlands beat Australia 3-2, and Chile defeated Spain 2-0 to put Spain at 0-2 in group play in the World Cup, eliminating them from cup contention. Croatia also defeated Cameroon yesterday 4-0 in Group A. Today, Colombia and Ivory Coast began at noon, Uruguay plays England at 3, and Japan and Greece face off at 6. The U.S.'s next game is Sunday versus Portugal at 6 p.m. This Wednesday morning, the U.S. Trademark and Patent Office axed 6 patent trademarks on the Washington Redskins. The office explained that the trademark registrations were, quote, disparaging to Native Americans, end quote, after wide public pressure and dismay. And lastly, Richard Sherman had a scuffle with wide receiver Phil Bates at Seahawks minicamp. The resulting scuffle between the offense and defense followed. The altercation started when Brian Walters made a diving catch on the sidelines and injured himself when safety Earl Thomas fell onto Walters in a no-contact scrimmage. On the next play, Sherman was playing press coverage on Bates. Sherman ripped off Bates' helmet and punches flew. Pete Carroll talked to the team at midfield, and Sherman and Bates later worked out their issues. That ends the current sports quick hit headliners for today, Thursday, June 19th. We'll send it back to Al to start the show.
All right, thanks a lot, Matt. Again, if you want to weigh in on any of those topics or just have something on your mind that you need to get off your chest, hey, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. As you just see from those current sports quick hit headliners, we have a ton to get to on today's show. Now, in just a moment, you're going to hear my sit-down with Dan Jimenez, who is a MHSAA baseball official, has been officiating for many, many years, over 35 years to be exact. Dan is a great guy, and we decided to bring an interesting topic that we have covered here previously on Current Sports Radio and decided to bring to the TV show, that issue being referee abuse. So to all of you dedicated Current Sports fans who tune in each and every weekday from 1 to 2 o'clock here on the show, we're going to reward you with a sneak peek into tonight's TV episode. You do not want to miss that. But we have a ton to talk about, folks. Again, we'll be taking your calls at the second segment of today's Current Sports. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports and by also tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR. Again, as you just saw from those quick hit headliners, so much to discuss. And how about Pat Riley? If you guys didn't see his press conference in Miami addressing the local media there, man, oh man, did you miss quite a speech. He addressed the media, and he starts off addressing the media right off the bat by coming out and saying, hey, quote, you want to trend something? I'm ticked. Get that trending. End quote. Again, that's directly from Pat Riley's mouth. And he went on and on and kind of gave an interesting view on LeBron James, the future of LeBron James and the Big Three, and the future of this franchise going into next season. He told the media to, hey, get a grip. There's no panic here. That was basically the whole message that he was trying to convey. And he definitely, if you listen to his speech and his presser, he definitely had some hidden messages there for LeBron James as to his future with his ball club and whether or not he'll return to the Miami Heat. Now, yesterday, for those who tuned in, our Barbershop Wednesday was focused on the future of LeBron James and whether or not he should stay or go. Matt and I weighed in on it, and we both agree that, hey, we think that LeBron is coming back next season. And for a multiplicity of reasons, due to the fact that, hey, there's nobody in the East to go to other than maybe the Chicago Bulls, because the East was so terrible. We saw how Miami just kind of coasted through this year. Unless somebody in the East improves dramatically, I think that the Heat are definitely the favorites in the Eastern Conference next year as well. And also, just looking at the core of this team, even though this, you know, you saw that core sort of just go ghost recon in the NBA Finals, they were still the best team in the East for a reason. There were still some production from certain guys that definitely just kind of went AWOL in the NBA Finals. But Right now, the Miami Heat are the best team in the East, and for Miami to leave, it would have to be one sweet deal. But you got to look at Pat Riley's presser, because Pat Riley is a guy who's one of my favorite characters in sports. I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time, one of the greatest figures in sports of all time, and one of the greatest executives of all time. He's a smart guy, and when looking at that presser, you see how in the first place he was able to recruit LeBron James, if you will, to the Miami Heat in the first place. He had some interesting perspective and just basically went into pressure and said, hey, everybody chill. LeBron definitely has to mull this over, as anyone should. You got to weigh your options in any decision like this. But at the end of the day, the Miami Heat are going to be okay. So, and again, he had his hidden message for LeBron, basically hinting that, hey, you can't win them all. Even the greats, I mean, even Tim Duncan, you know, it took him 5 years before winning an NBA championship. You know, Larry Bird lost in the finals. Magic Johnson, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, there's so many that came so far, yet, you know, came up just short. And, you know, that was basically the message for LeBron, not to give up on the Heat. So, interesting stuff there. And again, later on in the show, during our second segment, we are going to dive into the Tigers. Again, 10 straight losses for them. My goodness. It's at a 9.3, Alex. It's at a 9.3 as far as that panic meter is concerned. My goodness. And also, you know, Brad Ausmus, as Matt just alluded to, he definitely stuck his foot right in his mouth with a certain comment he made after the game. We'll talk about that and so much more. Throwback Thursday will be coming at you as well. I'm excited for today's show. Hopefully you are as well. And right now, I'm going to give you a sneak peek into Current Sports TV, which airs tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. We are tackling the issue of referee abuse. On yesterday's show, we talked about how, I mean, if you look at many Little League games specifically, and, you know, that in Little League games, you know, and not even little, just Little League, if you look at elementary school games, high school games, there is always, we all know, there's always that parent when going to these games that just takes it a little too far. You know, little Jimmy or little Johnny may be out there playing, little Susie may be out there playing, and there's always that one parent who just can't seem to control those emotions when things may not be going right for their child or their child's team. And it sometimes has escalated into many violent occurrences. You know, I shared yesterday on how I've definitely been at a basketball game and fights have brewed out due to the emotion on the court or, you know, a certain call not going a certain team's way. But we've all seen it. And, you know, at professional events, refs are always getting heckled. You know, hey, they're always getting heckled from me at home on my TV. I can just imagine how they deal with that in person on the court or the field. It's unbelievable. It happens all the time in sports. But there are those moments that just go too far. Those moments where it crosses a fine line. We've seen the videos on YouTube where you know, referees have gotten to scuffles with teams or coaches. We've seen those videos, and sadly, last year, which really sparked this discussion right here on Current Sports Radio, an incident in Utah occurred where there was a soccer game taking place, and a 17-year-old player got into it with one of the officials. It got so heated that the 17-year-old decided to wind up and punch the referee right in his face. The damage was so serious, the referee went into a coma and eventually passed away. Yes, it led to a death. And it was, you know, it's so sad. And, you know, we had a week-long special where we brought in, you know, representatives from the MHSAA and local officials from around the area. I played a throwback chat with Mark Yule, who is the assistant director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, as he gave his thoughts on it. Also that week, we invited Carlos Foligno, who was a longtime official as well in the area. And, yes, Dan Jimenez was a part of that week as well, and he also had some strong thoughts. It was my pleasure to bring him to Current Sports TV and to bring that conversation to Current Sports TV to sit down and chat with him on that. And I started off by playing a video of that whole fiasco that went down, sadly, that led to that death of the referee in Utah after being punched by the 17-year-old. So Dan and I start off the conversation with that sad, sad moment. That incident took place in Utah, in which a 17-year-old got into it during a soccer game, a youth soccer game, with a referee there, which she decided to punch in the face The referee eventually went into a coma and sadly passed away. Take a look at this.
I don't think there's anything that's really enough. I think that this charge is what we could charge. It's the right charge, but the death of Ricardo Portillo, I don't think this is enough, but I think it's what we have. And we feel satisfied. He did sound sincere. I think he is sincere. I think he is very sorry for what he did. I don't know that that's enough for really, but I think he is very sorry for what he did. I think that this is a fair resolution. We get secure care, which is what we wanted. I think we end the case today rather than dragging it out further. If we were to go forward, I think that this could drag out for many more months.
We don't accept this apology right now, but it does help us in the grieving process. So we will forgive him sometime, but just not right now. We wish that he could have had some sort of punishment, but we're satisfied that, he's going to get rehab so that he doesn't do this again. But we do wish that there was some sort of punishment.
Yes, that was Ricardo Portillo's daughter, as you saw. And that came right after the ruling was made for that 17-year-old who sadly, again, punches the referee in the face. He goes into a coma and sadly passed away. You, Dan, being an official and looking at an incident like that and hearing about this, what was your initial reaction?
Well, that's difficult to say. I'm happy to see, though, that the family has come around. A lot of things do happen. It's unfortunate. It's the heat of the moment type of scenarios. And unfortunately, some people go beyond controlling their emotions. And unfortunately, that happens a lot more with soccer than many of the other sports. But it's nice to see that the family has come around and to put this behind them, because there has to be closure at some point. It may take time, as it has, and it's nice to see that.
You know, Dan, I played high school sports, basketball specifically. That was my sport. I wanted to be like Michael Jordan, Al Jordan, folks. But now I'm here, right, doing
this
show.
We go.
Yeah, you see how that panned out. But you know what? I would always look in the stands sometimes, and I actually had a few friends whose parents were just so involved and so passionate. And of course, parents are passionate about their little ones playing in high school and in youth sports in general. So much so that, sometimes I remember, times during the games where if a call didn't go our way, I immediately would turn to the stands and I would see their parents losing their minds, screaming at the refs, heckling them the entire game. You being an official, have you ever dealt with something like that? I'm sure you have, because you've been doing it for quite some time now. Have you ever been in situations like that?
Oh, we all have, especially working as long as I have. It's there. It'd be nice if it weren't there. But then one has to put things in perspective. It's youth sports or high school sports or a community-based sports. There is such a thing as you got to be able to put things in perspective. Unfortunately, when their little Jimmy is out there, that's the whole world. If everything is focused on their Jimmy or their Susie or whomever that may be that's out there that they are supporting. But a lot of times, my son competed. He played football, he played basketball,
right.
He played baseball. And in my case, he even played basketball for me at the high school level.
Right.
And I'm sure there were people who watching our interchange on the basketball court, I as a coach, my son as a player. And they may have thought, boy, it's gotta be tough for them at home with that type of situation, but it wasn't. On the basketball coach, I was Coach Jimenez. At home, I was dad. Entirely.
You knew how to separate it.
I had to, because if I didn't, then he and I would never enjoy one another at any given point, be it on the basketball court or at home. And,
right.
I remember distinctly as a 13-year-old, specifically thinking to myself, I cannot get on him for everything that he may do that I may not agree with, that I may not like, because if I did, we would never enjoy one another. We would not be able to share the compassion that we had that sports brings to us.
Right, that is so true. And separating that fine line can be a little foggy, especially when it's your son.
Oh, definitely.
Now, Dan, for you, again, being an official, you've been officiating for quite some time. How are you guys trained to deal with the local parents and anybody who's at a game heckling you guys? What do they tell you guys to do? Is there a training protocol that outlines what to do?
Well, not so much training as it is maybe at the professional level,
mm-hmm.
Where they have these camps for sports officials at the professional level, okay? Major League Baseball sponsors a couple of camps there.
Right.
But when I go to like to our NCAA meetings, again, the quote being that still sticks, if you don't say anything, you can't be quoted or misquoted, better yet still.
Right.
You cannot be misquoted if you don't say anything to begin with. So as tough as that may be, even for us, it's best maybe just to keep silent about certain things. Simply because, especially now, when we think that maybe a game may or may not be on television, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because not all games are. However, there is such a thing as cell phones nowadays.
Right.
They sneak up, they pop up, and behold.
Recording is always on.
It's always. And sometimes we have to operate that way, as though someone, wherever it may be, is recording our every move, our every word.
Right.
And right now, as I'm watching, let's say, the College World Series, it's nice to see that the umpires are mic'd. And
right.
They do sound bites with them. And it's really neat to hear live time, real time, the exchange that goes on between, let's say, an umpire and perhaps the catcher right there at home plate. Or wherever it may be, and in particular when a coach comes out and has, let's say they want to discuss a particular call that they may not necessarily like or agree with.
Right.
And some bites that go on. So we have to be on guard. We have to be on our toes and vigilant about all these things. And that's what keeps us going.
And as you just alluded to, sometimes it's best just to shut up and just do your job, right?
Yes.
But sometimes that gets kind of hard. I mean, because people can say some nasty things out there, right?
They can. They do. But like I said, we still have to go back. If you don't say anything, you cannot be misquoted.
Right.
And that's the key, misquoted.
Exactly. That is the key.
Yeah.
For you, Dan, how did you get into officiating? Why do it?
Well, when I first came to Michigan State in 1971, sports has always been part of my life. And again, obviously not being able to compete at this higher level, at the D1 level.
Mm-hmm.
Still wanted to stay involved. I was the intramural program here at Michigan State offered us a venue, and again, a well-paid venue. Okay, the university didn't pay a lot back then. However, once you go through such a program, it opens up the arena of high school athletics.
Yeah.
And always looking for sports official. And I will say this, and I'll put a plug in for sports officiating.
Mm-hmm.
As tough as it may be with, like we talked about, the heckling and the abuse that we do put up with. However, I say for a young college student or a young person in general, there is not a better paying job than sports officiating. And that's a good way to maintain your involvement in a sport as well as earning some money. And
mm-hmm.
I've been here even after I left the university. I've come back and recruited sports officials for high school athletics. Again, the selling point is going to be there is not a better paying job for a young person than sports officiating.
And many people have bid on that notion, obviously,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
For you, Dan, there's gotta be a lot of pressure involved with this job, right? Because I mean, if you get a call wrong, I mean, we've seen so many examples in sports history where, you know, the game weighs sometimes so much on a certain call and it doesn't go a certain way and that team ends up losing and it can get ugly sometimes. Do you feel any pressure when you're out there officiating, especially in those tight moments as a game dwindles down?
Oh, definitely. Not so much pressure. And again, I personally feel that we perform better when we know that someone's looking over our shoulders, be it the coach over here at first base or over here at third base.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are analyzing, they are looking at every pitch, and they may say something with respect to whether or not they agree. However, the bottom line is, I don't think, personally speaking, there is a harsher critic on me than myself.
Right.
And with that in mind, I operate that way because I want to do the best job I possibly can.
Right.
And again, it's really neat when we can go through that and let's say a nine-inning ball game, be at the collegiate level or at the professional level, where
right.
we've gone through and lo and behold, son of a gun, I've done a pretty good job.
That's pretty good. It's a key part of that is, like you said, having each other's back when you're out there, which is so detrimental because, I mean, hey, you know, sometimes you can't see everything, right?
Oh, no. And especially now with instant replays and at the major league level and even at the collegiate level where they have the review. Let's review a play here.
Exactly.
Let's review a play there. And I think it's more so this year now with Major League Baseball where they have all these reviews now.
And I want to get into that briefly in just a sec. Shift gears really quickly. You have some thoughts, Dan, on baseball taking too long. I mean, because a lot of people have this opinion that baseball takes too long in the early spring when it comes to high school baseball officiating. In that regard, what do you have to say to those critics out there?
Well, again, we're dealing with here in northern climes here where it's cold. And the again, where we haven't quite really hit daylight savings time and where we don't have quite the time. You know, some people want us, let's say, they'll tell us that we shouldn't take any more than 10 minutes between games. I've even had coaches, hey, can we hurry up? Can we do this in 10 minutes? No, we can't. It is not humanly possible for me. Let's say you and I are umpiring. I got my play gear on, and you have to get your play gear on. We have to take a walk that could be quite a 3-, 4-, 5-minute walk from the actual playing field to walk and then sit down, maybe take a breather, maybe use the facilities, and then also to exchange our gears, to exchange equipment. That takes time, and 10 minutes, as has been suggested a number of times by coaches even on the field. Can we go in 10 minutes? No. It's going to take us longer than that.
Right.
And but I will say this, college baseball implemented a rule a while back, the pace of play. Games were taking too long. Let's see if we as a body, a governing body, can implement something here where we can speed up the game a little bit. Not so much speed up as keep the game flowing. And one of the umpires on the bases, they're mandated to have a stopwatch to time between innings, to time pitches. Between pitches when no one's on base. Well, we as umpires at the high school level, there are a few things that we can do. There is a rule in high school baseball that states that there is a minute between innings. That minute begins as soon as that third out is recorded, and thus the incoming pitcher must finish his warm-up tosses within that minute.
Right.
And too many times we as umpires are lax about that. Instead of just keeping being focused on the game, there it is, being focused.
So there's other things that can speed up the process that people aren't just looking at right now.
Correct. And I think we as umpires have an obligation to make sure that we maintain the pace of play. Mm-hmm. Another one is foul balls. A lot of times we allow someone to go shag those foul balls. As long as that pitcher has a ball, those foul balls are not an issue. There's no need for us to wait for those balls to come in.
Right, right.
Especially
keep it going.
Keep the game moving. And I've been accused many times over, what's my hurry? It's not about being in such a big hurry. It's about maintaining pace of play.
Right. That's so true. And speaking of pace of play, there are many that were worried in Major League Baseball that instant replay would slow down dramatically the pace of play that the MLB currently is experiencing. When instant replay was suggested and now it's adopted in the Major League Baseball, what were your thoughts on that? What do you think about Major League? Do you like instant replay, seeing what has ensued these past few months?
Well, I think they had some difficulties in the beginning, and I'm sure they've been able to iron out a few things. We as officials, we want to get the call right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may take, let's take another look at it, because everything out there is so instantaneous. I mean, we do not have the luxury. And mind you, that this is big time where there's a lot of money. These are highly played professionals at every level that they want to make sure that they get it right. That a certain call will not, let's say, affect the outcome of a game.
Right.
And that is important because there's so much invested in that at that level. Well, again, at our level, it's still the human element. And again, we're not going to try to cheat anyone. We're going to try to be as fair as we can, and that's important.
That's all you can do at the end of the day, right?
That's all we can do.
All right, Dan. Well, I'll tell you, I'm asking you something you can do in the next 5 minutes. Can you stick around?
I'll do that. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Yep. Stick around because the 12th man starts right now. All right. Well, it is time for the 12th man, and for this week's 12th man, we're actually going to go to our Facebook and Twitter pages at facebook.com/currentsports and my Twitter page at AlMartinWKR, as many people out in the social media world have some pretty interesting questions for official Dan Jimenez. You ready, Dan?
Let's go.
Let's bring it on, right?
Bring it on.
Here we go. Mark from East Lansing wants to know, What is the most challenging part about being an umpire?
Well, you know, it's funny. I have reoccurring dreams that I'm walking onto the field to do the play, and I'm missing some piece of equipment. It's amazing how we can have that. But in terms of being challenged, it's just being prepared.
And what do you guys wear? I'm always curious. What do you guys wear out there?
Well, you see us in uniform, right?
Right, uniform. You got shoulder pads, right?
We have chest protectors underneath our shirts here. Mine is a rather small chest protector with some shoulder pads, shin guards, and that's very important, obviously.
Right.
And again, we have specialized shoes that are steel-toed and also an instep protection.
Gotcha.
As well.
So Dan's biggest fear is forgetting a piece of equipment when you go out there on the field.
I have done that. I will know. Oh, yes. And not only the dream, but actually going onto the field, finishing up a makeup game in the top of the ninth inning. And this was at the Lugnuts a few years ago.
Yeah.
We finished up a suspended game in the ninth inning.
Right.
And we're there in plenty of time, rubbing up the baseballs, getting dressed and everything. And I go out there to look at some pitches and, oh, shoot, no shin guards.
That's hilarious.
Yes. Oh, I didn't go back in. Fortunately,
right.
That happening ended right away. And then the bottom of the ninth, walk-off home run.
Oh, there you go. You didn't need him.
I didn't need him. Not then.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. Great question. All right, next question here. John from Dearborn Heights, Michigan, wants to know, if you were the Tigers manager, Brad Ausmus, what would you do to fix the current slump? That's a big question, John.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not a football coach. I'm not involved at the professional level at all. And I'm sure it's not an easy answer. There's got to be a lot more than what I can possibly even get into.
Yeah, it's tough. The Tigers, it's multiple things. I could go on a big rant right now, but I'll save it for Current Sports Radio Monday through Friday on AM 870. Okay, all right. Mike from Lansing wants to know, other than baseball, what would be your favorite sport to be an official of?
Well, we talked about this off the air here a moment ago. Mm-hmm. Do I like baseball better than? I officiated basketball for over 20 years. And believe me, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I did coach for 28 years as well. Again, what is it that one enjoys better than the other? It's not about that. It's about enjoying what we do, having a passion for what we do, as
right.
I did for coaching all those years. And then again, officiating. It's something that I thoroughly threw myself at, as I do now with baseball.
And we might see you back on the hardwood, right?
At my age, probably not. The knees are not going to allow me to do that.
Well, thanks a lot, Dan. Dan was a great guest. Again, you can catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. We gave you a sneak peek into that sit-down. Dan Jimenez, thanks a lot for sitting down with me again. Check it out. We'll talk about referee abuse and so much more. You don't want to miss it. Always a fun time each and every Wednesday night. And next week, we bring to you, yes, a Spartan legend in the world of hoops. Charlie Bell, former MSU hoop great. You don't want to miss any of that. And hey, you don't want to miss the rest of this show. We have a good one for you. We'll talk Tigers, Throwback Thursday, and so much more. Current Sports returns in the blink of an eye. Right, welcome back to Current Sports on this Thursday, Throwback Thursday, that is. That's why we're rocking out to some old school music. Thanks a lot to Alex Sharp for putting that together. Matt Lucky now joins me. How you doing, Matt? Everything well?
I'm doing well, Al. Happy to be here. It's Throwback Thursday.
It's Throwback Thursday. I'm looking forward. You know what? I can pretty much guarantee that Nolan Ryan is probably in this list, right?
I'm not going to give away any spoilers. We'll have to wait for
we'll
this
wait. Well, yeah. I'll put money on it. I'll put $5 on it. How about that? No, I'm joking. Jokes! I don't have $5. I don't have 85. I'm broke, folks. All right. But I'll tell you what. Who's broke right now? The Tigers. The Detroit Tigers. What is new with this team? Oh, they lose yet again to the hottest team in baseball right now. The AL Central leading Royals. Yes, Kansas City. They have not won this many games in a row since a run of 14 back in 1994. Jeremy Guenther, he allowed 4 hits, struck out 9 in 6 2/3 innings. Drew Smyly nearly mashed him, but the Detroit left-hander was victimized by Gordon's flunky RBI single in the first inning, right off the second base, and Omar Infante's homer in the fifth. So now I tell you what, Alec, Matt, this really is not well now. I'm moving up my panic meter again. I'm moving up slowly each and every day, I feel like. It's at a 9.3 now. It was a 9.1 yesterday. It's getting closer and closer to 10 for me. Just some food for thought here really quickly, Matt. Now, a month ago this morning, the Tigers were on a 6-game winning streak. They had the best record in baseball and led the second-place Royals by 7 games. That was a month ago. My, oh, my, have things changed. It just shows you baseball is such a wave of no-ending future. You never know what's going to happen. You know, it's crazy. Now, and also, you know, the Royals, looking at their win yesterday, the Royals took the lead on the Tigers in their all-time series. They are now 3-0-8 and 3-0-7. How about that? Wow. Interesting stuff. So, you know, there may be a changing of the guard. Now, this series may be symbolizing a changing of the guard, especially when you look at the AL Central. Man, oh, man, I tell you what. And you know what? Jeremy Guthrie became the first pitcher this season to strike out Victor Martinez twice in a game. So there was some history made. A lot of history made yesterday. The Tigers, are you still – and I know, Matt, because you always say it. It's still a long, long season. It's still a long, long season here. But we got to admit, the Tigers just plain old stink right now. Ugh.
They're in a bad way. That is for sure. And you go back to that 6-game win streak, you know. They take that photo with the Zubaz.
Maybe that was it.
You got to burn the Zubaz.
Burn them, huh?
Get rid of stuff. Clearly has taken
them.
Their mojo.
Yeah.
Something is wrong. I don't know. And then you have Brad Ausmus just making...
He just stuck his foot in his
idiotic
mouth.
Idiotic remarks.
Like, why would you say that?
Oh, Brad.
What? And there, in no way, shape, or form, is that okay to say.
Ever.
Not even in a one-on-one conversation behind closed doors. You know, not even in Donald Sterling confines can you make that comment. And you do it in front of reporters.
Even Donald Sterling would think that's tasteless.
Yeah.
You can't do that. No, it seems like he's...
Right.
This is the big test.
Right.
You know, as a rookie manager... This is when you're going to really earn your pay, is when things are not going well. It's easy, I feel like, to coach when you're riding high. You've got the best record in baseball, and guys are hitting the seams out of the ball.
Right.
But when you're 9-20 in the last month, this is when he's got to do something to shake things up, get the team back on track, right the ship, so to speak. Because right now, I mean, if things keep going the way they are, even just into the All-Star break, I mean, they could dig themselves a pretty significant hole.
They could.
And I still think the Royals will come down to earth. They're not going to win out for the rest of June.
No,
that's not going to happen.
It's impossible.
They'll have a cold streak coming too, but
I don't think
important.
Not as cold as this.
I don't think so either. And it's important for the Tigers to at least kind of stem the tide here a little bit. I mean, if they go 500 to the All-Star break, that's okay. They can't keep losing series and getting blown out. It just seems like every game is either 11-4 or they lose by a run. When the pitchers are going, the hitters can't hit anything. When the bats are hot, the pitchers are getting destroyed. It just seems like they're off by a little bit, one thing or another, every single game. They got to get something going.
And I'm interested to see, confidence-wise, I mean, when you go through a stretch like this, it could really, really diminish your confidence over time. They got to still have a collective mindset and say, hey, you know, this is the flow of a season. We got to get out of this. Got to get out of this rut. And guys got to start approaching the game mentally more ready than what they're doing now. Because right now, I'm just seeing a mental lapse. Because the Tigers, like I said, a month ago, we weren't even talking about that. We had no notion of the Tigers have even approaching a slump. I mean, the best record in baseball, a secure lead in the AL Central. Far above the Kansas City Royals. And again, the Royals are hot right now. They are playing. They are a young, talented team that I think is going to make a lot of noise as the season continues here. You're playing a hot team at the same time. Not even just look at this series. Looking at the way they've lost other series, approaching this streak of losses, if you will, they just aren't mentally ready right now for this team. And I'm interested to see, you know, what's it going to take. I thought that the Max Scherzer complete game shutout was going to kind of wake him up, and I thought it did, you know, approaching the series after that. but I guess I spoke too soon.
No, it was a blip in the radar.
Exactly, exactly. So we'll definitely see. Again, our phone lines are open right now, ladies and gents. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that is on your noggin. I believe we have Ray on line one who wants to talk a little Russell Bird and MSU men's hoops. How you doing, Ray?
Good. How you guys doing?
Very well. Very
hey,
well.
Buddy, I used to know Russell Bird up here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was kind of discouraged to hear that he was going to transfer and he ain't going to have his diploma yet. What's going on with him?
Well, yeah, Russ has decided to take his talents elsewhere. And you know what? I want to say congrats because I don't think we actually gave Russell a congratulations because Russell Bird actually got married, I believe, over the weekend to Clarissa Bell, who was a former MSU hoop star, of course. So him and K-Bill tied the knot. But yeah, as far as the transfer goes, I mean, if you look at Russell's career, Ray, Russell just never, I mean, he couldn't, first of all, he couldn't stay healthy.
Right, that was injuries.
Yeah, injuries definitely plagued him. And, you know, coming out of high school, he was heralded as this unbelievable shooter. He was going to be the guy to just light it up from three-point line. He was supposed to be who Kenny Kaminsky is to this team right now. And he just couldn't stay healthy. And I think right now, possibly transferring for him can kind of jolt his confidence and give him sort of a renewed life elsewhere. What do you think about that, Matt?
I think, you know, the injuries kind of bled into his confidence. And once your confidence is gone in basketball, it's tough to get it back. And
right.
I think maybe a change of scenery will help him there.
Exactly.
How close was he to getting his diploma?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not even sure about that one. We have to dig into that one a little bit, Ray.
Okay, I was just wondering, he's transferring to a California school?
Yes, he's transferring to the Master's College, which is a Christian liberal arts school 30 miles northeast of Los Angeles. So he's going to L.A., which is also, that school is also his parents' alma mater.
Right, right. His dad's a pastor up here.
Right.
Kelly Burke. Also, I got some good news. I went to this Michigan football dinner for 25 years, and the rich people told me to quit coming to it. Last 3 years, they had hardly any turnout, and they're getting rid of
it. Ray, thanks a lot. Ray is always bringing some interesting insight, isn't he, man?
Insight and fire.
And fire. Yeah.
Gotta love the fire.
I love the, you know, Alex, it was kind of cool with the fade out there. All right. Thanks
That's
a lot.
Nice.
Thanks a lot, Ray. Again, if you want to call in just like Ray just did, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right. And how about this, man? You know, this is something Matt's still cracking up about about Ray. Ray always goes on a rant about Michigan all the time.
He does.
That's Ray for you. But yeah, we just had to fade him out there. We only got 20 minutes left here, so we got to kind of speed along. But yeah, I tell you what, Matt, this is a story that really piqued my interest as well because I had no idea that football campers, if you will, who come to MSU are not being worked one-on-one with the players of the football team. Now, with, you know, college football is unlike any other sport in this regard because, you know, reading the article today on this, which is allowed, a rule change has allowed MSU football players to now work in football camps that, you know, possibly have recruits coming in. In other sports, you know, this happens all the time.
Right.
But in football, it doesn't. And it really, really was interesting here because, you know, these football players are also being paid to work at these camps as well as other athletes in other sports who are also working in those camps. Interesting stuff because when you look at, I'm glad this rule has been changed because I totally think it's unfair when you look at other sports who have MSU athletes who are able to work these camps and get paid for it. But why is football singled out? I think that is totally unfair. I'll start the conversation there.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a double standard. And I also am glad that it's gone. And it just seems like a good opportunity for both the current players and the campers. I mean, if you're a young kid going up to a Michigan State football camp,
right?
I mean, who would you rather be taught by? You know, Shalit Calhoun, let's say you're a defensive lineman, or a high school coach that coaches in a different part of the state that you'll probably never see again.
Exactly.
If you're going to a Michigan State camp, you want to learn from guys who are at Michigan State. I think that'd be a dream come true.
And that aids in recruiting, too, because, I mean, for a potential recruit who's in high school, possibly thinking about taking his talents to Michigan State University, why wouldn't you want to work with the guys who could be,
your next teammates. You know? Why not? I mean, that aids in chemistry there. But I just thought that was totally unfair. I'm glad the rule is now changed. And, you know, not everyone can work the camp, which I thought was pretty cool. With D'Antonio reading the article about it, D'Antonio made, you know, really stressed that working the camp is a privilege. You have to be doing what you need to do in the classroom, off the field as well, no trouble. It's a privilege to get paid to work this camp. So players are earning it in that regard. But yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's totally a double standard and unfair that football players, that's why Andre Sims, our intern, who's a football player, and he works with us, who's doing a great job here on Current Sports TV and radio. Andre, I mean, I've seen him once this week because he has been called up, one of those kids who is doing the right thing in the classroom and off the field as well. That, you know, he's been invited to work the camp and is getting paid for it. Hats off to him. They deserve it.
Absolutely. I mean, if they're going to put in the hours, they might as well get rewarded. And I know that's slippery slope when you're talking about college athlete compensation.
Oh, yes, it is.
I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole. But
right.
In this context, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, it's funny because reading D'Antonio's quote about it, when he heard about the rule change, this was his initial thoughts. Quote, I thought, here we go. It's going to open up a big Pandora's box, commensurate with going the rate for camp or clinic counselors of like teaching ability and camp or clinic experience. So he thought this is going to basically just open the can for the discussion again to talk about athletes, college athletes getting paid once again. So, but hey, if other sports are doing it, what's the problem here?
Right.
So, hey, that's interesting stuff. You got any thoughts on that one? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. When we come back, it is Thursday. And yes, you know what that means. Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened in the history of sports on this Thursday. Don't go anywhere. We return in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, June 19th, here on Current Sports. And you know what? Each and every Thursday here on the show, we like to take a look back in sports history. That's right, hop into our Current Sports time machine and look at what sort of things ensued on this day in sports. Matt, take it away.
Al, you know what? Let's start out with something that didn't happen, which is a shock.
Uh-huh.
And that is a Nolan Ryan milestone.
That's crazy. Really? Are you serious?
June 19th, absent a Nolan Ryan milestone. He'll probably do something important today.
Right.
So that in the future, it's probably the one day on his calendar he doesn't have that big, you know, accomplishment marked down. So June 19th, Nolan Ryan, pick it up, buddy. You got to have something
going
on.
I'm glad I didn't
bet
that $5.
I'm glad you didn't either.
Yeah, that would have been $5.
Unless you would have been betting me, because I would have gladly taken the $5.
But exactly, yeah.
Let's move on to stuff that actually did happen. Let's go back to 1846. The New York Knickerbocker Club played the New York Club in the first baseball game at Eliason Field in Hoboken, New Jersey, for the first organized baseball game. All the way back, 1846.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, jumping almost a century, we have a pair of Joe Louis milestones.
Oh, how about that?
1936, unfortunately for Joe, one of the biggest upsets in boxing history, Max Schmeling recorded a 12th round knockout of Joe Louis. Mm. Then jumping ahead a decade in 1946, the first television sports boxing spectacular, Joe Louis knocks out Billy Kahn.
So how about that?
Pair of Joe Louis milestones on June 19th.
And he just turned 100. You know, if he was still alive, he would have turned 100. Was that last month we had that special?
Yep.
So, yeah. Joe Louis, shout out to him.
Big time figure in the world of sports, specifically Detroit sports. All right, 1942, Boston's Paul Wagner recorded his 3,000th hit. Another hit milestone in 1973, Cincinnati's Pete Rose and Los Angeles' Willie Davis each collected their 2,000th career hit. So it's a big day for milestones in number
Same
of
day.
Hits. Same day, just 31 years apart. Okay, 1943. This is the most interesting Throwback Thursday piece maybe we've ever had. 1943, the NFL approved a merger of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
A merger?
It was. Now, this is in the heat of World War II.
Okay.
So not a lot of players available, so they decided to merge the two clubs. They were officially called, and this is a bit clunky, the Phil Pitt Eagles Steelers Combine.
That is the name of the squad? That is the name they came up with?
Luckily, several weeks after the announcement, a Pittsburgh Press editor gave the team the unofficial nickname of the Steagles.
Okay, I like that.
That's well, got a ring certainly to it. Easier to say.
Oh, my. Hold on. Say that name one more time.
The Steagles.
No, the name before that.
Oh, gosh. The Phil Pitt Eagles Steelers Combine.
That is terrible. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad that
Steagles
changed.
Is easier to say.
Oh, yeah.
Easier to print on merchandise.
Yes.
Just seems like a no-brainer. That's a win-win.
That's okay. Crazy. Okay.
Okay. 1952, Brooklyn's Carl Erskine pitched a no-hitter versus the Chicago Cubs.
How about Kershaw last night, too? My goodness, was that unbelievable. He was
Hanley
was
Ramirez.
Yes.
Better be buying him something nice because he ruined a perfect game with an error.
I know, right? Exactly.
Oh, boy.
That could have been a flawless, but hey, it was a no-hit. It was great. It was great
still
to watch.
Still a no-hitter, yeah, but I mean, could have been.
It could have been a perfect game. Flawless
okay.
game, though.
Okay, speaking of no-hitters, Kansas City's Steve Busby pitched his second no-hitter in 14 months with a 2-0 win against Milwaukee on this day in 1974. Back in 1973, Gordie Howe. Yes, mm-hmm. Gordie Howe.
The great Gordie Howe.
Left the NHL to join his sons Mark and Marty in the WHA for the Houston Aeros. So
hey,
he leaves the
cool,
NHL.
Though. Even though you leave,
absolutely.
Still.
I'm going to go play with my sons.
Right.
Awesome. 1986, this is a sad note, University of Maryland basketball star Len Bias died of a cocaine-induced seizure.
Have you seen Without Bias?
I have.
Sad stuff, man.
It is sad. I mean, it's a tragic story. He was going to dominate the NBA.
He was. He was that guy who was supposed to come in and just be the next superstar. And, you know, it just goes to show, you got to watch everything you do. Because you could be gone. You could be here today and gone in the blink of an eye tomorrow. And, you know, just hanging with the wrong guys, doing the wrong thing on the wrong night led to his passing. If you haven't seen Without Bias, an unbelievable 30 for 30 ESPN documentary. You got to check it out. You know, Matt, I was thinking the other day about 30 for 30s. I want to ask you this. If you had a chance to make your own 30 for 30, what would it be focused on?
You know, for a throwback Thursday in the past, I found out that the CFL had an American expansion. Mm-hmm. In the mid-90s.
Really? I didn't know that.
They had like six teams in the U.S.
Right.
That's what my 30 for 30 would be about.
That'd be pretty interesting.
Like a Northern Invasion or something.
I have multiple ideas.
Already got the title worked out. What is your number one? If you only had the budget for one.
I've always thought about this. If I had to do one 30 for 30, it would be going in the, you know, kind of like a throwback, you know, well, all the 30 for 30s are throwbacks, but right. Going back in time. Uh-huh. And this would take extensive research that I probably wouldn't do. I'd probably put Andre Sims to do it, my intern, and you know, he'll go back in time and look at all of the possible outcomes that could have ensued due to referees or officials blowing a big call. And Whew. Just looking at, you know, what happened in that moment and getting interviews from individuals who lived in that moment and just kind of looking at what if moments in sports due to blown calls.
Al,
there's a lot of
them. You're about to make like a 5-hour epic. I mean, I don't know
yeah,
if there's.
That'd be tough. It would have to be a 2-part.
I was
going to
say, they're going to have to air that on multiple nights.
I'll pick out the biggest ones, of course, okay. But still, I think that'd be pretty interesting.
It would be interesting. Yeah. I like that. And going back to Len Bias, I mean, people always talk about how Jordan had no equal.
Right.
He might have been that guy.
He might have been. Right. He was so good. But yeah, 1986.
The NBA lost a bright star that day. Okay. Keeping things moving, 1992, Evander Holyfield, father of Elijah, who is apparently going to be the next big Holyfield. He beats Larry Holmes in 12 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title.
That's fitting today.
Oh, yeah. Nice. He's not Messiah.
No, he's not. Oh,
he's just
gosh.
Elijah.
That's a heck of a name.
Heck of a name. Oh, boy. Okay, 1995. This is my favorite one of the day. The New York Yankees announced an agreement with the one, the only.
My name is Darrell. I'm a baseball player. One thing I forgot to say, when I'm on the field, I'm on top of the world. I get screams from all the girls. Everybody in the stadium screams for me. Strike one, strike two, but no strike three. When I'm running, all the players make space. I run, I slide, and then I'm safe. Yo, I ain't soft. I even get
That's right.
That song needs to become a hallmark on this show. I'm just going to randomly play that.
Darryl Strawberry, ladies and gentlemen. I've been trying. for weeks to work it back in.
Oh, yes, you definitely
I
did
finally
that.
Finally found my opening.
I run, I slat, and then I'm safe.
Nailed it. Strike one, strike two, no strike three.
Oh, that's great.
No strike three for Daryl Strawberry.
Stuff. Shout out to Daryl Strawberry. That's a classic.
Oh, gotta love him. Okay, 1999, boy. The Dallas Stars won their first NHL Stanley Cup by beating the Buffalo Sabres in a 3-overtime game 6. Technically, the game actually ended on June 20th. That was the controversial Brett Hull goal versus Dominic Hasek, where his foot was in the crease. That was back when the Stanley Cup used to last until literally the end of June.
Oh, yeah. Right,
both
exactly.
The NBA and NHL playoffs used to go way too long. I'm
way
glad
too
they've
long.
Kind of condensed it a little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of the NBA playoffs, in 2000, Shaquille O'Neal scored 41 points and had 12 boards to lead the Lakers to a NBA championship over the Indiana Pacers in Game 6. Of course, Shaquille O'Neal would win the MVP.
Ah, the big Shaqtus.
Oh, yeah. Shaqtus, big Aristotle.
So many nicknames.
Oh, yeah. Too many nicknames. Yeah. Okay, in 2000... Tiger Woods sighting wins golf's U.S. Open by 15 shots.
Oh, man, those are the glory days. Oh, bring him back, Tiger, come back. I'm begging
15
you.
Shots.
Oh, that's unbelievable, dude. Oh,
we thought
goodness.
Keimer was dominant last weekend.
Yes, Tiger Woods.
15
Tiger
shots.
Tiger Woods was from Pluto. Now he's back to Earth, but man, oh, man, was he so good.
U.S. Open record score of minus 12.
Alex, hopefully I can channel some of that Tiger Woods, you know, throwback Thursday, this moment on Saturday. We're going out Saturday, Matt, and I haven't been out all year. I haven't swung a club all year. Lord be with me.
I think it's probably for the best.
Yeah, you're right.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be overthinking it.
I'm not going to be overthinking it. I'm just going to be
out
there.
Just get up
there. You're right. That's true.
Get up there, swing the club.
Just, you know, be the ball.
That's
be
it.
Be the club.
I've gone out a couple times this summer.
Yeah.
Each time, worse than the last. So... So cherish that first round.
Well, I don't
round.
Want that. Don't rip that off on me, Matt. Don't rip that off on me.
But at least
Matt.
You'll start hot.
Yeah. That's the 15 strokes, my goodness. Okay.
15 strokes is crazy. And then in 2011, Rory McIlroy, back when he was winning tournaments, he won the 111th U.S. Open at age 22, becoming the youngest winner of that championship since Bobby Jones in 1923. And
there
that is all
it.
I have
nice.
For Throwback Thursday.
Nice. Throwback Thursday, where each and every Thursday we take a look back at what happened on sports history in this Thursday. Thanks a lot, Matt, for bringing that to us. Really quickly, 2 minutes left. Alex, I want to get your thoughts really quick. You are the recruiting king here on this show. And looking at our current sports quick hit headliners, as Matt so eloquently put, we have Michigan has committed a pretty big recruit. His name is Messiah DeWeaver. And also, they're going after Evander Holyfield's son. What do you think about that? Well, how are these two players? Have you know anything about them?
Yeah, I don't know too much about them, but I was talking to Matt about this. Michigan loves to go into Trotwood High School. Sean Crable, if you remember him from Michigan, Trotwood product. They have several other guys. In the last 3 years, they haven't been able to steal any Trotwood guys back up north. This is the first guy they've had in the last 3 years, from what I believe. So that's a pretty good sign for them. But at the same time, guys, I really do think that Michigan State got the better quarterback in Lewerke. Watching his tape, he's got a great arm. I think he's going to be a star. So
now, Alex, speaking of Messiah, do you think he can be Michigan's savior?
Oh, man.
If your name is Messiah, you better be good.
Like, what's his middle name? No Pressure?
Right.
Oh,
exactly.
My gosh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
How could you do that?
It reminds me of Jesus Shuttlesworth. He got game. My
at least that's
goodness.
A fictional character.
At least that's fiction, right? This is real life. Your name's Messiah. My goodness. All right.
Michigan has some funny names. Junior Hemingway. Junior. Yeah, they've got some funny names on
that
team.
Yeah, some characters, man. All right. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. Catch Current Sports TV tonight as I sit down with Dan Jimenez. And we'll talk about so much tonight. Don't miss it. You're listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, WKRE's Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Thursday and be easy, people.